Welcome to the Sharpen Leadership Podcast with Pastor Ricky Temple. This podcast is designed to sharpen your leadership skills and improve the quality of your life at home, at work, and in ministry. Enjoy today's podcast with Pastor Ricky Temple. In today's Sharpen Podcast, Pastor Rick looks at the topic of potential. Find out how to ask tough questions about your potential as a leader and how to transform your potential into reality, and explore some of the reasons why potential is never realized. And let's join Pastor Ricky Temple.
Praise God. Repeat the topic with me, please. Say the giant, called potential. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I have found this to be a very helpful message that if you carefully analyze it, it can really inspire you to think about your life and where you're going. It seems to me that a lot of people don't like church because it doesn't help them. In one of the surveys, when asked, why don't you go to church, it's because it's not helpful. It doesn't do anything specific to help my life be better. You know, you ask me to come get all dressed up and come sit in the place, and the guy talks too long or asks for too much. And so I just don't feel like that kind of environment helps me. But I want to hopefully say something today that will, if you're that kind of person, you'll say, man, it was helpful today. It gave me something to think about. What is your potential? What are the things in your life that you said you wanted to accomplish, but you haven't? I believe that all of us have giant potential. And you'll see that in the scripture. There's a giant potential that we all have that we never oftentimes tap into. Listen to what Paul said about potential. Verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Above all we ask or think. I can do abundantly above. Your potential is abundantly above all you can either ask or think. That is a pretty big statement. Potential has to do with, or defined, is to become or develop into something. Having or showing the capacity, and that's a big word, the capacity to become or develop into something. Paul says you have the capacity. God has the ability, the willingness, the desire to do abundantly above all you can ask or think. So the size of your dream, the size of your desire doesn't intimidate God at all. And he wants to draw the line in the sand and say, you haven't even thought about what I can do for you yet. It hasn't even come to your mind. So God's not your problem. Say, God is not my problem. Come on. Well, then what is my problem? What is, in your mind, the hindrance to your life? What is stopping you from reaching your maximum potential? Have you ever in your life reached it? Have you ever felt like, man, I'm there. I can never do more than this. A lot of people start feeling that way the older they get. They start feeling like, well, I'm dying. And they give up on life. A major illness. Man, it'll challenge your faith, push you, make you give up on your potential for living. Do you feel you have arrived? Have you cashed in the chips of life and said, I just can't go any further? How far in your mind can you go? There are families that program their children to believe that they can't go but so far. My environment, I had a wonderful family, wonderful environment, they're good people, but my environment did not encourage me to have a great potential. It encouraged me to work. It encouraged me to be honest. It encouraged me to be God-fearing, but it did not encourage me to be saved. It encouraged me to be God-fearing. We had no concept in my home in my early years of salvation, being saved, none of that. We didn't even talk like that. We were unchurched people, in my opinion. Good people, but unchurched people, God-fearing people. Had flaws and imperfections. Weren't bad people. But they never told me I could be a real estate mogul. No one in my family ever was a big pusher of education. That wasn't a big deal to be on the dean's list or any other list. If you made it, smart boy. If you didn't make it, you're still a good boy. In some families, that defines you. In some families, it was important for you to be athletic. In my family, it was optional. I chose athletics and played sports because I liked it, but it wasn't a mandatory thing. And so each family can define for you, in your mind, your potential. I remember I tell the story when I was in the eighth grade, they had this test, and they said, what do you want to be? It was a career day, and I chose to be a baggage handler. I'm not against that. I need somebody to handle my baggage, man. We understand what I'm saying, but that I couldn't see past that potential. The second great dream of my life was to be a police officer. That's it. Who are we? The mighty, mighty PD, LAPD. How much will you make? $13.98. 1 mile, no good. 2 miles is good. 3 miles, real good. Run it again. That's my dream. I never thought anything beyond that. Never had any dreams past that. I was focused on that one dream, period. That's it. That was my potential. Never wanted to be married. Never prayed to be married. I said, I live with somebody. That way we don't like each other. Some of you grew up all your life talking about marriage. Not me. My mother never married. I was born to a wonderful mother who never married. I was a man. Her world, her life. She dated here and there, but she never, you know, she just, my mom was special. I ain't saying no more. But there's something about your culture and your environment that defines your view of your potential. You can think you can't. Some of you say it all the time, I'm not college material. Your environment taught you that. You've been around the wrong people. Your brain still works. Touch it. What's wrong? You're scared of that thing? Touch it. Say, Jesus' name. Come on, say, Jesus' name. It worked. Yeah, it worked. It worked. It just hasn't been pushed the right way, guided the right way, taught the right way. Educators are so important because they give people faith. They take you to places in your brain that you didn't know worked. And you find out you have greater potential. That's why when you pass a test that was hard, you celebrate. I had a class one time, man, it was so powerful. Professor walked in, he said, there's only one A in this class. It was a Greek class too, which made it really special. You know, Greek's always been, if you ever had any foreign languages and, you know, the vocabulary and all the grammar and all that stuff. So in this particular test, he walked over and he said, there's only been one A in this class. And he said, it belongs to Mr. Temple. Snatched the paper, bam. Talking about me. What made it special was I already graduated from college and I went back and take some Greek. And what was so powerful was after you've been through college, you know, one time, you know, you're really serious about studying. You got a clear vision. You don't clown around like the young people. You know what I'm saying? You don't need no girlfriend, no boyfriend. I need to pass. I need a job. I got to pay bills. I ain't got time to be trying to find nobody. I'll catch you after graduation. If you're around. Oh yeah, your whole vision is totally different. God gave Israel some real strong words. Turn to Exodus chapter 19 about their potential. I love the way that the Lord described it. And there are two generations of Israel, of people he's going to talk to. Exodus 19 is the first generation. This is the generation that came out of Egypt. And Moses proclaims their potential in a very strong way. Look at what he says to them in Exodus 19:5. He makes this profound statement. He says, now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice. It's conditional, though. Please understand, he's going to talk about their potential, but he's going to link it to conditions. And I'm going to come back to this a lot and throughout the sermon and show you these conditions, how crucial they are. And we're going to spin them a couple of two or three ways. But I want you to listen carefully to verse 5. Notice how he says this. Now, therefore, if you indeed obey my voice, that's the condition. If you indeed obey You got to be committed. And if you keep my covenant, you got to keep the contract. We often sign stuff and don't mean it. Go through life, put all these dreams in the buggy of life. When it's time to pay at the cashier, we don't like it. I want 5 children till you get one. 2. There's something about that moment in your life that you really rethink what you want. If you obey, if you keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me. And underline this statement, above all people, for the earth is mine. God's saying, I can put you up higher than everybody. No need in hating when somebody's promoted. God can elevate people. And I like the way he words it. I want you to understand, I can do this. I can make this work for you. That was a powerful statement about their potential. First generation, here's your potential. Well, they messed up. They wouldn't go in the promised land. They rebelled. They didn't keep the covenant. So Deuteronomy, turn there. Second try. All these in Deuteronomy that are mentioned here are the children of those in Exodus. Remember, after they refused to go into the promised land because they thought the people were too powerful. And so the Lord said, everybody 20 years old and older, except Joshua and Caleb's going to die. After 40 years, we'll try it again. And so in Deuteronomy, this is the children of those people in Exodus. And here's what he says to them. This is Moses again reaffirming their potential as a people. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. Verse 6, Deuteronomy 7, 6. The Lord God has chosen you to be a people for himself. There it is again. A special treasure above all people on the face of the earth. I have chosen you. Now, please catch this. The baton was passed to the first generation, and the first generation took it and blew it. They passed it to the second generation. The second generation takes it. Now, this generation is going to go into the promised land. But what's powerful is, the Lord said, your potential didn't die in the first generation. Your potential still is alive. Just because your parents didn't make it doesn't mean you can't. If anything, they can show you how not to mess up. That's why grandparents are so crucial. I believe that. Grandparents are a critical part of a family structure. If you listen to them, and if they're wise and give good counsel, they can show you the way around a whole lot of foolishness. The Lord, Terry, long down the road, this church, I won't pastor it eventually. And I told him, when I'm not a pastor, I don't want a key. I mean that. I want to come, wave, yo, hey, and give it to a team that will carry it on to the next level. How about an amen to that?
Amen.
But that ain't going to be tomorrow, and that's when I'm starting it. But the point is, if that team that takes over is smart, they want to hear what I have to say. They want to hear what you learn after doing it for a long time. How you hire people. What's good, what's bad. One of the things I'm doing right now is more leadership training and writing, because I want to document lessons I've learned about what not to do, how to view things, how you deal with large crowds, how you hold yourself together, how you balance your life out. A whole lot of things that can happen to you in this job. And you see it happen to good guys. Start out good. After a few years, implodes. Don't know what happened. And I think they're keys. But you see, this generation now has the benefit of the first generation. I want to always give the benefit of my generation to the next generation. Everybody say, grandparents are real important. Come on. So God declares their potential. Now in 1 Peter chapter 2, all the way to the back of the Bible, people, go towards Revelations. Don't go all the way. When you get to Hebrews, slow down. When you get past Hebrews, slow that car down. Don't go to 1 John, you're too far. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2 and 9. You ready? But you are a chosen generation, Peter now declares our potential. Uses the same language, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The reason he made you special was so you can proclaim his message. See, it's all about evangelism. It's all about proclaiming the gospel to people. God didn't make you special so you can walk around and show off. He made you special so you can impact the lives of others. That's the only reason we're going to get what we're going to get. That's the only reason we have what we have. It's not so that we can show off. We're not on TV or radio or anything we're doing. We're not blessed with the properties we own. None of this, the crowds, none of this is for us. It's so that other people can praise the Lord. Say amen if you hear me. Now, so having said that, that is a strong description of our potential. But here's the question. How do you get from potential to reality? That's the journey. How do I get from here to there? Well, I've already told you, but let me recap and you'll see how all this fits together. First of all, you must personally commit to your goal. You must obey. I can't do that for you. Once you look at your potential, you must commit. I can't make you do that. A lot of people see their potential, but they never personally commit. They want to blame somebody. I'm not where I should be because my mama, my daddy. Well, how old are you? How long is that going to be true? But yet, you know, one minute you grown and you this and you that, and then the next minute it's their mama fault, your daddy fault. It's unfair. You must personally commit. You have to say, this is what I want to do for me. See, there's certain things I just want for myself. It's got nothing to do with anybody else. This is just my personal desire for me. I don't want my house to look a certain way, period. That's just me. I want the grass cut. I want the hedges trimmed. I want certain things done. I want my car clean. And when you look at it, I want you to say, Jesus, two times. That's just me. Now, some of you don't care. You keep French fries in case you get hungry in the back seat. Yeah. I might get hungry. I ain't studying Pastor Rick. When I need a fry, I got one right here under the seat. I get that. You're laughing, but we can go in the parking lot. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Sometimes when I go out in the parking lot, people say, stay away from my car. Back up, Pastor. Don't come over here. You're not preaching on me today. And I understand. I do. See, but the problem is I can't change that. And let me tell you, that will free you from a lot of grief in life. Let people be who they are and love them. How many of you have a sloppy cousin? Raise your hand. Okay, watch this. How many of you know a person? You know they are real sloppy. Raise your hand. Okay, good. Now, who are they? Don't say it. No, don't say it. But you know, and you know what's amazing? You can't change it until they make a personal commitment that they don't want to live that way. Now, I can contain it, control it, especially if it's in my environment. I have containers I put on, you know, I just try to work it out, you know, but there are things in life that people have to personally commit to. And that's what he said to them. You guys have to personally commit to this. You have to obey the covenant. You have to decide that you want to reach your potential. And that is the first step towards your potential. You make a decision. Number two, you must get buy-in from those who help. Verse 7, and we didn't read this in chapter 19, Exodus 19, verse 5 is what we read about obey the covenant. And we went down a little further in verse 7. We don't have to go back there. Verse 7, here's what happened. After he told them, you got to obey the covenant, Moses then went and called all the elders, Exodus 19, 7. He called all the elders to a meeting, said, let me tell you what God told me. You know why he did that? Because he had to get buy-in. One of the reasons you will never reach your potential sometimes is because you cannot get buy-in from those you need help from. For example, in a family, if you're trying to save money, if everybody in the family is committed to spending, you'll never save money. If everybody in the family is not committed, if you work on a job and the people in that work environment are not committed to excellence, you'll never get there. It's not until you get buy-in. I never reached certain levels of potential because I could not get buy-in from people either who work for me, people that I fellowship with. They weren't on the same page. They didn't want the same things. So sometimes it's not you. You are personally committed. You're gung-ho. You're willing to pay the price, but you can't get buy-in. That taught me a lot about pastoring this church. I can't do it by myself. You can pray, be a man of God, you can lay on the altar, you can fast for 40 days and 40 nights, but until you get buy-in, you're done. So that's why you have to seek out buy-in. That's why you have to carefully pick who you covenant with. A lot of marriages, biggest problem you're having is no buy-in. You're the only one that want a clean house. You're the only one that want order. You're the only one that don't want to fight. Everybody else, wake up in the morning, they're ready to go. It's until everybody says, we're not cussing. Look at your neighbor and say, no more cussing. Come on, tell them, no more cussing. So why you saying that for the man? I don't cuss. I'm just, all the holy people got really upset. I don't cuss. I don't know why he tell them. That's not for you. That's for somebody. They know who it's for. Oh, there's some people in here who know it's for you. You know it's for you. Because you get mad, you let it out. You and your mama, blank, blank, purple. But if a person is committed to cussing you every time they're mad, you don't get anywhere. No buy-in. A lot of divorces happen because you can't get buy-in. A lot of divorces, a lot of relationships wreck. Can't get buy-in. It's not until you get a person to buy in. Let me flip this. You know why there's so much crime? We talk about stopping crime and all that, and why, you know, one of the reasons we can't stop crime? First of all, you can't get families. Most people who commit crimes belong to a family, and most family members know who they are. You know who your Al Capones are in your family. Some of you know who the drug dealers are. You know exactly where they live, and you know where their drugs are in the house. I'll get one more amen. Buy-in. Drugs would never spread like it spreads in this country if people bought in large numbers. People just don't agree. And so we have blockades to success. And that's what I learned about my life. I now must surround myself with people who buy in, who want certain levels of success. I gave an example, and I don't mean any harm when I say this, but it's my testimony. Whose testimony is it? Yours, my testimony. When we first started on television, I worked hard. I mean, I worked really hard. And I've learned that as I created work, I made those around me nervous, because it's a lot of work. So when you drag in that work, and you start catching those big old tubs of fish, people get tired of cleaning fish. And so they start complaining. When are you gonna stop? Now you wanna do this. And before you know it, they half clean the fish. I can't check all the fish. Then they don't even gut some of them. Cook them, serve them at the table. People say, this fish tastes funny. And it's because you can't get buy-in. For some of you, that is your problem. Your success is not is hindered because you are relying on people you need to stop relying on. Say amen if you got it. I could talk about that a long time, but I don't have time. Number three, you must sow the right seed. Say that with me, please.
You must sow the right seed.
How do you get from potential to reality? Number one, you've got to be personally committed. Number two, you've got to get buy-in from those you need help from. Number three, you must sow the right seed. Galatians 6 and 7, not to turn there. He said, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If as long as I am planting the wrong things, I will never, ever have a certain level of success. I don't care what I want to do. It's not until I start doing the right things. As long as I am sowing strife, calling my wife names, ignoring her, if I keep doing those things, I'll have the result I don't want. One of my favorite sayings is, don't create a future you hate. If you don't like your present reality, be honest. Go back in time and ask yourself some hard questions. So let me begin by asking you some hard questions. I call this questions, tough questions to ask about potential. These are questions that, boy, it takes courage to ask these things. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, what was your potential when you started, and why haven't you reached it? Spell it out. I said I was going to college and graduate. Why didn't you? Be honest. Because I didn't want to study. Put it out on the paper. The truth. Or I didn't know how to study. Or I had an academic block and I couldn't figure it out. Or I got caught in a financial trap and couldn't afford it. Or I didn't have enough support. I couldn't get buy-in from a family to help me do it. Those who could have helped me didn't. Write it out. Be honest about it. Most of the time, though, it's got more to do with our personal commitment than people not buying in. I don't blame people for not buying in. I blame me for relying on people who wouldn't buy in. But spelling out the truth can be tough. My potential was a successful relationship, but what happened to it? Number two, second tough question. Why do some churches struggle and never reach their potential? Why is it? Why is it? Why is it? Why is it? Stuck on that corner with five people. Why after all these years, you still got 20 people? You're standing around an ocean full of fish, and you got two fish on the boat. And then standing up on the boat saying, all you dumb fish don't want to come to hear the real. Maybe the bait, the boat, the fisherman has a problem. What? Why is it that so many, you have so many answers and no one wants to hear you? Why is it? I ask myself those hard questions. Because I've seen a lot of guys, catch this, get this far and die. Oh, yeah. Streets are full of dead bodies, of churches, thousands of members fall apart. What happened? Tough questions to ask yourself and to be honest about. Thirdly, why do some products have potential but never sell? Why do some students have potential but never graduate? Why do some relationships have great potential, burning with passion, can't stop kissing each other? That's how some of you used to be, but broke up. What happened? What are the elements that destroy it? Here's a hint. Single people, pay attention to this one. Be careful that you don't get somebody that makes you feel good, but that's not good for you. We got great potential. And women, Lord knows, you got a potential disease that'll get you in more trouble. I know he don't work, but he got potential. I know, you know, you women, you are some real fixer uppers. You know, you believe in fixing up a man, you know. I know he don't match, but you know, I know. And then they say, okay, baby, whatever you say. If he don't take a bath now. You holding your breath now? You'll be wearing a gas mask later. Trying to help you. Need to stop all this fixer-upper. Well, Pastor Rick, there's not much left out there but fixer-uppers. Every time I go shopping, all I see is use. I don't see any new cars out there. I got people calling the Lord. Oh, Lordy, oh, Lordy. End up praying. Drag him down to the car lot. Say, can I trade him in? About to kill me. It's so sad that we don't believe that God is able to do abundantly above all we can ask or think. That we take our lives in our hands and settle for things and do things that don't really connect to where we're going. We miss our full potential. One of the greatest joys of my life is I believe that waiting on God paid off. Man, I'm telling you, waiting on the Lord and doing it God's way has always paid off. I remember hard choices I had to make. Yes. I remember one time I was driving, just, I can tell this. The dying listening, shh. I was dating this fine girl. Shh, between us. And I was driving to her house. And the spirit of the Lord came on me so strong. Turn around. I said, I know that ain't God. Shoot. I'm driving home. I'm serious, man. I know what street. I can tell you the street I was on. I know where she lived today. It's in my brain. Some of y'all say, why is it on your brain? I have a good memory. That's all. I was driving, man. And I remember I turned that car around because I knew, nice person, but I'll never reach my potential with that person. Yes. Yes. Nice person, but my potential. And see, here's why. Commitment to Jesus, commitment to the Word of God, stable, worship, spirituality, all those dynamics really played a part. I knew where I wanted to go. Hey, you know, listen to me. Some of you don't care. I feel all that. But that wasn't where I was going. That wasn't my dream for my life. I'm not saying that everybody that's a worshiper and they go to church. You know, I understand that. I get you. Christians have a higher divorce rate than non-Christians. I ain't crazy. I get all those facts. But the reality is, I knew what Ricky Temple wanted. Amen. And so I found out that holding out and trusting God was the best thing. So sometimes you got to turn the car around. Say amen if you hear me. Turn the car around. Why do some have great potential but crash and burn? Why do some children? Some of your parents are extremely grieved over your children. Why? I think there are three reasons why our potential is never manifested. Three reasons. Number one, you already heard this, believe it or not. Our level of personal commitment was not high enough. Your level of personal commitment. Here's the bottom line. If your potential is not reached, it starts with you didn't commit to the covenant. You were not totally committed. It's not anybody else's issue. This church has the potential. And we as a group decide how committed we are. Some ministries will never, ever, ever, ever reach their goal because their leader is not personally committed, the individual members are not personally committed, and secondly, there is no buy-in. There is no buy-in. You could never convince that 200 group of people to give that much money. They'll never do it. They'll always say, I ain't giving that, I ain't doing that, and so they can't have it. You can't get that many of them to tithe. You can't get that many of them to support. You can't get that many of them to volunteer. Here's why it never manifests, though, in some families. The family individuals are not personally committed. The family as a group never buys in, ever. They spend all their time arguing and bickering. They have an inability to get others to buy in, and that leads to failure. Never reach your potential. You can pray, and a lot of people do this. They pray, and they cry, and they pray, oh, God, oh, fix my marriage. Oh, I'm going on a fast. You are fasting for nothing. Because the next time he says something you don't like, you're going to cuss him anyway. You are not personally committed to this. You do not have buy-in as a family. It doesn't work. And what I hope you do is go home and say, man, I'm sorry for my part in this failure. I have not personally been committed enough, with enough energy to make this work. I have not bought in. Could you and I renegotiate the covenant? Some churches, that's what you need, a meeting to renegotiate the covenant. I can tell you churches that will never go anywhere. When they have those meetings and the deacons are arguing and the pastor's fussing, and dead end. Can't get buy-in, not personally committed enough. Dan and I are committed to each other. She gets on my last nerve, and I get on hers. But we are more committed to each other than we are to any issue. We let those issues go, throw them in the trash. You're more important than me, baby, and I'm more important than you. Let's move on. Some of you right now came to church and dragged in here all your issues. We'll talk about this at the church. Dragged your dead man with you in here. Got the whole place smelling. Yes, we will talk about this later. You want to go to Disney World and I want to go to Busch Gardens. We always go where you want to go and I'm paying. I don't understand. We'll talk about it after church. Some of you saying, how you know that? Last thing. Three reasons why our potential never manifests. You heard the first two. Our level of personal commitment is bad, and our no ability to pull together people. And thirdly, our seed is just always sown in the wrong places. Father, help us take an honest look at ourselves. Our potential is greater than we ever imagined. It's giant. But we've allowed simple things to stop us.
Thanks for listening to the Sharpen Leadership Podcast with Pastor Ricky Temple. For more great resources by Pastor Rick, visit him on the web at rickytemple.com.